welcome to the Pocket Gamer Podcast. It's episode number 259, and I am your host, James Gilmore. Joining me today, it's Peter Willington.
Hi.
Hello there. This is actually the second run at this podcast. Now, this is the first time this has actually happened. We're always very, very careful to make sure everything's recording, and I record on two separate things, just in case it all goes a bit wrong. And as we've been at Pocket Gamer Connects, which is the big conference that Pocket Gamer has thrown over the past couple of days, we thought we'll do a nice live from the field podcast.
Yeah,
that'd be great, wouldn't it? Because we're in a big empty kind of amphitheater thing.
Oh, it was so good.
It sounds a bit awesome, and when we speak, we sound like Greek gods, and we thought, yeah, that'll be great. Top radio there. And recorded it on two separate laptops, one of which was apparently made entirely of fail. So we got half of it, but not the other half, so we have to do it all over again. But it doesn't matter, because, you know, we like talking to you guys, so coming back for another conversation is just fine. Yeah. It's also lunchtime, isn't it?
Yes, it's lunchtime. That is all the other thing that that is different about this recording. What am I going to have? I'm thinking about having I've got some chorizo.
Himself a question.
I've got some chorizo in the fridge.
Okay.
I've got what else have I got? I've got a bit of salad, some wraps.
Are you going to consume this while podcasting? Are you going to munch in our lovely listeners' ears?
Maybe.
Ew. Mastication does not make good radio. And be careful how you say that. So yeah, it's all a bit strange, and I don't know what time of the day it is, and I'm confused. I'm going to finish this podcast and then go to bed, because that's my automatic response to finishing a podcast. So what have we got? News and updates and hands-ons and all the usual stuff we do have, but first it's updates, I suppose. Just one update for you this week, because, you know, we've been busy and doing things relating to PGC, Pocket Gamer Connect, that is. So we haven't had the time to look at things, but we're back in the office now and have discovered that Disney has just reduced the price of Where's My Mickey, which is the Mickey Mouse-themed kind of tack-on thing to Where's My Water. It's now free on the App Store for nothing. You can download it. No money. That's good, isn't it? That's basically what free means. But yeah, you can download that right now. Unfortunately, if you have an iPad, you still have to pay, though.
Well, I mean, if you've got an iPad, you've got too much money. There you go. That's my... I'm rocking the house now with my opinion. I'm hungry and I'm annoyed.
The assumption should be that if you've bought an iPad, then clearly you have petty cash to spend on HD versions of games. So, but if you want to just download the iOS version, you can get it for free right now. It's all right. I've played it. I think I reviewed it or something. It's okay. It's just another one of the Where's My Water things, but it's got a mouse in it now. So go on then. First bit of news this week is relating to Final Fantasy VI for Android. We talked about Final Fantasy last week and mainly discussed the graphics and how they've changed them on the new versions and how we don't really like it.
Yeah.
Basically,
yeah.
Yeah, because we're old and grumpy. But something even more unlikable about Final Fantasy VI is that the Android version would crash halfway through the story.
Yeah, that's
not so good. So no matter how good or bad it looked, you just couldn't play it, full stop. Which was annoying, because if you're halfway through, you probably spent about 30 or 40 hours, and you really don't want to be locked out of the campaign at that point, because you'll end up sending your phone flying out of the window in rage. But go outside and pick it up off of the lawn, because it has been fixed. The game-breaking bug has now been sorted out by Square Enix. They rushed out a patch, now it works all the way through, rather than just for a bit, which is nice.
You could see that as episodic gaming, couldn't you?
They should freeze the game at one point and say, now give it a couple of weeks and we'll sort it out and unlock it.
What will happen next time to Kefka and his mates?
Do I want to see the bat symbol go willy-dilly-nee and then like pick it up next week? They've also, while they were at it, thought they'd fix the bug. They'll sort a couple of things out as well. So there was a problem with Sabin's blitz technique, which basically meant that you didn't know how to access them. You know how in Sabin, I don't know if you're Final Fantasy, right? You play that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know how Sabin, if you want to do a blitz, you actually have to input a little buttons. Yeah, up, down, left, right, blah, blah, blah. Apparently, they didn't have them listed, which they didn't in the original game, as I remember. You had to work them out and remember them.
Yeah.
But now they've decided to have them listed next to the appropriate command in the menu so that you can actually see what you need to press, which is, I think, the difference between 90s gaming and sort of noughties gaming.
Yeah, it's more accessible and better.
And we had to just like work it out. I had to go onto lists and or ask your friends how to do it, and it wouldn't show you. You just had to remember using your mind. But no, you could do that now, so that's great. And I guess that's better for you young'uns who can't remember up, down, left, right commands too easily. Still looks a bit weird, though.
It does, doesn't it? Should we talk about that for another 20 minutes?
No, we covered it last week. I just thought it's best to reiterate.
It's best to reiterate that we're not fans.
The rest of the news this week is quite legal. It's all a bit litigious because there's been sort of, not lawsuits per se, but people threatening to sue other people and people threatening to slap down legal restrictions on other games. You may have heard something about it. We'll start off with the first one, which is slightly smaller. Blizzard. Them WoW chaps, World of Warcraft, they've released their Hearthstone game into beta, like an open beta, and people have been playing away for quite some time. It's a mobile card battler that's based around their World of Warcraft universe. Thing is, Chinese developer Unico decided to release its own game called Legend of Crouching Dragon, which, as any shrewd-eyed people will be able to recognize, the cards and layout of this game does look a little bit like Hearthstone.
Ooh, that sounds scandalous right there.
It is so scandalous. But you can take a look at the cards. We've got a few pictures up on the site if you want to go and have a look. It's quite difficult to argue that it's an entirely original creation. The cards really do look quite a bit like the cards in Hearthstone. Blizzard has noticed this because they have eyes everywhere, like Saruman. So they have decided to call up their lawyers and sue the pants off of Unico. If they win the case, then they might receive a potential $1.65 million payout.
What?
Yeah, which I don't know how big Unico is, but that might be a bit of a kick in the crown jewels for them. But in Blizzard's defense, I mean, it's always difficult when a kind of mighty company like Blizzard decides to turn around and start suing people who are obviously smaller businesses and things, and there's a tendency to want to side with the underdog. In this case, it really does look quite a lot like Hearthstone, so they may have, you know, some kind of justification for doing this, so, you know, don't necessarily blame them. If you actually want to play the real thing, Blizzard is planning to bring Hearthstone to iOS and Android sometime later this year. Second half of 2014 is the date we've been given. I think the open beta is available. I don't know if it's available on iPads at the moment, but it's certainly available on PC. So you can give it a go if you fancy. And if not, wait for the mobile version to appear. And maybe don't play the other one. Or do play it before it gets pulled from the App Store. Either way, up to you entirely. However, the legal news that's probably grabbed the most headlines this week has been relating to King and the Candy Crush saga. In fact, all the sagas and all the candies in this instance. Like we were saying before, large companies who decide to sue smaller companies for whatever reason, you do tend to want to side with the underdog a little bit. And there has been a very, very strong reaction against the news that's relating to King this week. What's happened is that a week or two ago, King, I don't know if they actually trademarked it a week or two ago, but we discovered anyway that King had copyrighted the term candy. Because of the huge success of Candy Crush Saga, their free-to-play match 3 puzzler thingy, they have decided to protect their IP by trademarking the term candy, which means that, you know, if any new game attempts to use the word candy, they will attempt to counter the use of that word legally, which people have said, oh, you can't just take that word, it's a whole bloody word, and have it for yourself. That's not on. It's an outrage.
I'm outraged.
Are you outraged? Seriously?
I'm furious.
Is it just because you're hungry, or are you actually furious?
Yeah, mainly because I've got Chorizo waiting for me. But I mean, it's frustrating because on the surface, this looks really bad. And this is clearly, very clearly, the sort of legal department of King going, we need to protect these things. And it makes King as a whole look really bad. Like, it makes the people who design the games and develop the games and you know, arguably crimp from other games. Like it makes them look like bullies, essentially. This is a massive company with the top grossing game of the last year.
Yes.
You know,
that is true. You do have that sense of a gigantic company kind of waving its fist, or not even doing that, just like squishing something very small beneath its mighty tread.
Yeah, and like I say, like the headline of, you know, King goes for, you know, trademarks word candy. It's such a great headline, but it really does paint them as like the bad guys.
Yes, which, I mean, and there is an argument for saying, obviously, it's a bit cynical and trying to stop anyone else from using particular words, especially a word as kind of general as candy. I mean, if you generally people trademark entire phrases or slogans, I think you can certainly do that. Or if someone was to release, you know, Fandy Flush Farga or something, then you go, hang on a minute,
wait a second.
Yeah, and that would be fairly justified. But just being unable to use the word candy in any title of any game coming out because they made a successful game that happened to use the word candy, it does seem a bit much. But I don't know a great deal about legal law here, and legal terms and stuff like that, obviously. But from what I understand, they would be stupid if they didn't.
Right.
From a legal standpoint, this is the kind of thing you have to do if you want to protect your brand against potential clones and copies in the future. This leads on to a new story which broke over the past couple of days. And again, big uproar over this, that not only have they tried to trademark candy and succeeded, they're also trying to trademark Saga so that no one can use the word Saga in any of their game's titles. This got kind of raised to our attention, particularly because there's a game called The Banner Saga, which exists currently on PC and was going to be ported over to iOS. And then there was the revelation that King are going to challenge that. The suggestion was they were going to stop it coming to iOS because it uses the word Saga, despite the fact that The Banner Saga has nothing to do with Match 3 games or Candy Crush or anything like that, and I think existed even before Candy Crush came out. It's been around for a while, and it's purely a descriptive term to describe, you know, because it's a kind of fantasy isometric RPG thing. It's describing the history and the lore, and has, you know, literally no connection whatsoever to Candy Crush and its IP. So, firstly, there was a big outrage, and everyone went, how dare they, big old nasty shaky fisty evil company trying to trample the little man. Which, you know, as a gut reaction, like we're saying, you do kind of feel the desire to want to go, screw 'em.
Yeah, those big bullies making lots of money.
Exactly, and not giving any to me. So I understand that, and there's been a big public reaction, and King is now kind of enemy number one in the eyes of all gamers. However, updated very, very late yesterday, there was an announcement from King. They issued a statement explaining why they opposed the game title The Banner Saga. Now, I'm going to read a bunch of quotes here now. So, King has not and is not trying to stop Banner Saga from using its name. We do not have any concerns that Banner Saga is trying to build on our brand or our content. However, like any prudent company, we need to take all appropriate steps to protect our IP, both now and in the future. In this case, that means preserving our ability to enforce our rights in cases where other developers may try to use the Saga mark in a way which infringes our IP rights and causes player confusion. If we had not opposed Banner Saga's trademark application, it would be much easier for real copycats to argue that their use of Saga was legitimate. Which is the interesting sentence, I think. And again, not knowing about legal law. Legal law. Lawful legalities.
Yes.
But yes, the idea that if they were not to oppose this trademark application, then at some point down the line, when someone did try and release Fandy Fush Saga, they would then go, hang on a minute, that's out of order, and they'd counter that trademark application. And then I'm guessing that whoever was presiding over the case would say, well, look at all these other games which have Saga in. You didn't challenge any of them for their use of Saga, and that would potentially weaken their legal case.
Yeah, and
that seems to be, again, I'm not a lawyer, that seems to be the suggestion that they are making. That's their defense.
So I suppose though, that the issue is, like, that's still fine. And, like, in terms of, I think, I can't remember what my friend used to call it. Like, there's two types of law. There's actual law and moral law. Okay. And moral law has no place in courts, essentially. Moral law is the things that we kind of govern ourselves, and they are, like, often people confuse, like, actual law with moral law, to the point of, that's why you kind of get headlines that people say, how could this be allowed? And yeah, it's like, you know.
It appeals to a sense of injustice rather than actually being illegal.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, to that, everybody should absolutely get in arms and be outraged that this is the case, you know, because ultimately, whatever King says, you know, it's okay for them to say, oh, well, you know, this is the reason why we're doing it. You know, it still sucks. It's still absolute, like, it doesn't matter that you give it a good explanation. Like, you know, and I'm not suggesting that this is the case, but, like, if I slapped a kid in the face, you know, and its mother said, why on earth did you do that? I could say, well, I was angry. You know, it does, you know, just because there's a reason behind it, it doesn't necessarily make it right. But at the same time, I can understand why King, a company that has had one hit game.
Well, how successful were Bubble Witch Saga, Pet Rescue Saga?
Yeah. I mean, they delayed the floating of their stock. This is going to get very businessy. They delayed the floating of their stock on the exchange, I believe, simply because there was this worry that they were a sort of one-hit wonder. I mean, you know, Puppet Pair's done fine for them, and I'm sure Farm Hero Saga, which is their latest one, will do okay, and Bubble Witch did well.
Mm-hmm.
But the real smash hit, they haven't been able to replicate. You know, right. Candy Crush has been so successful. Mm. And, you know, if Saga is the word that's working for you, and, you know, Candy is the word that's working really well for you, I can completely see why their legal team would go, yeah, we need to get on this.
And, like, the original article, like, before King responded, stated that King's opposition against the Banner Saga was that it is confusingly and deceptively similar to other games with Saga in. Like, but, again, that, I suspect, is a quote from the legal document.
Yeah.
Where, rather than someone from King standing up and saying, hey, that game, the Banner Saga, is just like ours, which it clearly isn't. And they clearly didn't say. So I think there's a confusion of legal terminology here with the actual story. It feels a bit icky, and it is an example of a company which has achieved monumental success through one particular thing, flexing its legal might over lesser games. If you're trying to legitimately protect something that's actually cloning one of your games, which has happened to loads of mobiles, and Vlambeer have fallen victim to it on practically every game they've ever released.
Yeah.
Ridiculous Fishing and the Biplanes game, which I forget.
Luftwaffe.
Yeah. Almost every one of their games has been cloned, even before the actual versions have come out. And that's very depressing. And, you know, you do need to be able to protect your stuff against that. But when you come to broad sweeping things like I'm gonna trademark entire sections of the dictionary to prevent other people from using them, it becomes a little bit really.
Yeah, because it's not, you know, it's not, if you're a big company like EA, you probably don't want to infringe on that Saga thing, because you're in some ways, you know, you might be thinking, well, we might be building up their brand, really. So if you're a big company like that, but if you're a small independent and you just want to use the word Saga, like, you're using,
because your game is actually about a saga.
A saga, because you're using it as an aesthetic choice, you know, or a sort of a choice that comes from meaning. Like, you know, it hurts you in that way. And these big companies, they don't see it like that. But also, and it's sort of minor, but games like Panzer Dragoon Saga, now this means it's exceptionally difficult for Sega to want to take a punt on bringing that out on a mobile device. You know, and... That's just, you know, an example. You know, there are plenty of classic games with Saga in the title that maybe they aren't big enough to take a huge risk on them. But, you know, if they're easy enough to port, you might think, well, we might get a few, you know, we might be able to satisfy the fans and get it out on a new platform. But with this kind of action, it sends a strong message.
From the look of it, the Banner Saga will definitely be coming. That's what they're saying now. Despite the claims, it is going to come out. They're not literally saying that it's not going to come onto iPad, because it's got nothing to do with Candy Crush Saga. So if you are a fan of the Banner Saga, you should be able to play it sometime soon. But in the meantime, fuck big companies, out and about this week in Fear I Trust, which is a creepy game based around going around and exploring and doing some puzzles. And I think I'm pretty sure it's another one of those plot essential amnesia stories in which you wake up in a hospital and you don't know where you are or what's going on, and you have to find out why there are strange things trying to kill you in the shadows. So apparently, you can see his trailer up on the site right now. It's also available on the App Store at this very moment. It's £1.99 and $2.99. We have had a little look of it at it, and I'm drawn to these things anyway because I like survival horror, and if anything that's a bit Lovecraftian or creepy or a bit like that bit in Jacob's Ladder, where heads shake around all over the place too fast.
Oh, that's horrible. I don't like that.
Yeah, it's good, which everyone totally overuses now,
yeah,
because it's become the kind of default thing for a creepy visual. But yes, it's apparently a narrative-driven game, and it's based around human experimentation. As you can see by the picture of lots of mechanical-looking surgical machines about to do something nasty to a man on a table, which I'm all for. So yeah, you have to solve puzzles, mess about with locks and keypads, and try and escape from this terrible facility before something cuts you into a million bits. You can get that right now on the App Store, £1.99, $2.99. Also available is another Kairosoft game, Ninja Village this time. It's a war-waging feudal sim that you can get. If you haven't played any of the Kairosoft games, then you probably haven't got an iPhone, yeah. I guess, because they've got so many of them, and oddly, they're actually generally pretty good. I say oddly, but they're a kind of team that seems to pretty much rehash roughly the same thing every time.
Mm.
But it still manages to be kind of playable and quite good. They are much of a muchness at this point, so if you've played Game Dev Story or Space, what is it, Astro Space Story or Grand Prix Story, or any of the other story games. I think Game Dev Story was the one that really kicked it all off. But it proved massively popular. They're very sort of cutesy pixel art games which involve resource management and that sort of thing. It was originally out on Google Play Store, Ninja Village, and now it is out on iOS. So it's village building, war waging gem thing. We really liked it. We like the action side of it anyway. Apparently the battles with the big armies are really good fun and entertaining. The management side of it, not so good, not as strong, gets a bit lost in amongst all the violence. But apparently it's well worth checking out if you're interested. £2.99 or $4.99, Ninja Village. Supposedly out at midnight last night is Age of Booty Tactics, which is a strategy game in which you're trolling around the seven seas as a big old pirate. It's a hexagonal, you know, almost board game-esque affair in which you're trying to build up your massive armada and take on other ships and cast curses on people to, I don't know, make their hook hand fall off or something. I don't know. However, having just checked the App Store, I can't actually see it. It's definitely out on the New Zealand App Store, but we haven't seen it in the UK or the US yet. So have a look for it. We'll definitely be reviewing it when it does come out, but we're not 100% certain it's actually there at the moment. Perhaps by Friday, by the time you listen to this, it will be there. Something else that has actually come out, though, is Tree Wars, which is about squirrels.
Great, great. I'm all
squirrels
for it.
And beavers.
Oh, doubly so.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. So you are taking control of a small army of squirrels as they try and push back the front lines of dam-building beavers, so says Chris Priestman. Basically, you have to generate squirrel soldiers and archers and bombers and all that, and then wait till your time limit passes so you can, you know, generate more. As well as trying to defend your squirrely castle, you have to do your best to try and knock down deep beavers' dams as well, which are all like sort of lined up on the right-hand side of the screen. You can see a video of it up on the site. You use golden acorns to unlock other units and presumably not eat. The thing with squirrels is they're always burying acorns and then never finding them again, aren't they?
Is that true?
I've never asked one. I should do a provoking panorama-style interview.
Also, at my new apartment, which listeners will remember I've moved into, it is surrounded by squirrels at all times, because we have a little bit of woodland area. Oh, yeah. And they are the most devilishly cute bits of lovelies ever.
Squirrels are brilliant.
They are fantastic, but they are a little bit scary, because they like, you go out to the window and you look at them, and then every once in a while they'll catch like a look at you, And then they won't move, but they'll keep staring at you. And it's almost like they're staring you down. You know, like...
I haven't really encountered any squirrel-related fear. I've got to be honest. Like,
come on, mate. Come on. Come on.
Imagine if there were 100 of them, like, standing in a line, just, like, staring me out. That would be, I admit, a bit creepy.
Yeah, a little bit.
But if you want to take command of a whole battalion of cute and sweet squirrels and beat up beavers, you can get Tree Wars now for £1.99 or $2.99. There are also other things that are supposed to have turned up, like, sometime this month, but haven't yet. We thought Dungelot 2 would have been here. It sort of isn't. Frozen Synapse is supposed to get an extra bit of content called Red, some extra DLC. That hasn't appeared yet. It's been a pretty dry week. I'm not sure why.
It's January.
But maybe next week will be a little bit better.
Hope so.
Come sit upon my throne of games.
Here we are once again in the chamber wherein lies the throne of games. This is additionally annoying because yesterday we were sitting in a massive empty chamber getting full-on reverb when it really did sound like we were in the throne of games.
I've just posted a Vine. From,
oh, did you?
Yeah, I posted a Vine of the recording that I made, and it was so good.
It was. Even the chairs we were sitting in with these gigantic, ornate, white wrought iron things with kind of leather backing. They looked like thrones. It was amazing. We were on location. It was brilliant. But now I'm just back in my office again, and it doesn't sound very echoey. So, oh well, never mind. Still, we're going to talk about games regardless. Beginning with you, Peter, what have you been playing this week?
Well, I've been playing Hello Kitty Tap and Run. So I really
how
like,
old are you?
I really like the Hello Kitty brand. Mainly, I really like Sanrio. I think they make some really great characters. I think their art style is iconic. It's very cute. It's very friendly and lovely. And I generally just have a lot of time for them. I think they make some really awesome characters. You know. Mm. Obviously, there's the iconic Hello Kitty, there's, you know, Batsmaru, there's Cinema Roll, there's, you know, Miffy, you know, all these characters, and they are, even in the West, where it's mainly Hello Kitty that's kind of, you know, permeated our culture, like, sure. Those characters are still kind of known, but in Japan, like, some of those characters are just absolutely, you know, all over the place, like Choco Cat, oh, amazing.
Choco Cat.
So I play pretty much all the Hello Kitty games that come out on mobile. A, because they tend to be free, and B, because they tend to be pretty good. Like, they tend to be okay. One of the first gamer podcasts I was on, I was playing Hello Kitty Beauty Salon. I thought that was kind of cool. And much like Hello Kitty Beauty Salon, Tap and Run is very, very easy to get into and features very simple gameplay controls and indeed has mechanics that are very easily understood, but gets very tricky the further you play. Like, I'm now 7 days in and I'm finishing up the review of it at the moment, and it's very hard. So you don't need a lot of skill necessarily, but you run up against enemies that are much tougher than you. So to quickly explain the game, it's a very basic auto runner. You have a party of four kitties made out of three of your owned kitties and then one friend kitty, which is, you know, another real player, and you run along this area and jump over chasms and shoot stars at bad guys, and that's about it, really. To get more powerful, you take a base kitty, which is the one that you want to level up, and then you basically, like Rage of Bahamut, you kind of sacrifice kitties to that one kitty.
You mean like they do in those card battler games and stuff, where you merge cards to make a more powerful card?
Yeah, like a Reggie Bahama, like Marvel Rise of the whatever it is. Like that kind of a thing, and that's kind of, you know, it's quite appealing, you know, because you know there are over 600 Hello Kitty designs for you to unlock and to collect, and it keeps that fantastic Sanrio design. So you want to see more and more of these different designs, you know. So I currently, my party is Scholar Kitty, Adventurer Kitty, and I can't remember. Oh, Priest Kitty. No, Mage Priest Kitty. it's fantastic. And each of them has just a small little bit of personality that just kind of makes you happy that they're in your party. You know, so Mage Priest Kitty, for example, to attack, does a tiny little prayer. And Scholar Kitty, the glasses fall down slightly on their face, and they push it back up. I see. So it's very, you know, it's twee, but it's enjoyably twee. And there is just this compulsive collection element to it. You're rewarded quite a lot with, you know, daily rewards, you know, and they are very generous about the whole thing. They just kind of want you to keep playing. I am really tempted to spend some money on it. And I probably will, in fact. And, you know, it's one of those things of, and I kind of say this in the review, like, there's no such thing as an objective review, right? You know, it's...
Apart from mine, which are all objectively
100%
right.
Objective, in which you say, yeah, in which you say, there are graphics. a review is basically, like, ordered thoughts about feelings towards an object, right? And this is a very basic auto runner. It, you know, there's no way of getting around that. And if it didn't have the Hello Kitty branding, I think I probably wouldn't be too interested in it. I don't think I would review it very highly. But the fact is that I like Sanrio. So the very fact that Hello Kitty is in it just makes me enjoy it more. Mm. You know, it's exactly the same reason that some card battlers are better than others. But there's no such thing as a sort of universally accepted good card battler. You know, Rage of Bahama made it because it kind of just got out there and got in front of enough people quickly enough. But if you like Marvel, then you'll go for the Marvel one. If you like Doctor Who, you'll go for the Doctor Who one. You know, same with Transformers and or fantasy, or, you know, cute little drawings or whatever. Like, you will go for the one that you like. And I think it's exactly the same here. And so I'm kind of, you know, enjoying it a lot more than I probably would do normally.
Sure.
So if you like auto runners, then it's okay. Like, it's totally fine, but a bit basic. But if you like, you know, if you like Hello Kitty and you'll, you know, you want a game, this is free to play. It's enjoyable enough. It handles well. And there is a real enjoyment derived from collecting and seeing all of the awesome little kitties and their pixel art.
And one of them's a doctor mage.
One of them's a priest mage. So come on.
I'm going to nip off and dress my cat up in a lab coat right this very moment.
What have you been playing?
I've been playing Duke Nukem Manhattan Project.
Oh, great stuff.
Yeah. Oh, no, wait, that other thing. Terrible stuff.
Yeah.
All right, so if you're not familiar with the game itself, it appeared a while after Duke Nukem 3D, whereas the original Duke Nukem game, or rather Duke Nukem 3D, was a first-person shooter, which was extremely popular and based on lots of, you know, old 80s movie quotes, and everyone was like, oh, isn't he fun, and he's a bit misogynistic and a bit crass, but, you know, oh, it's all ironic, isn't it? Isn't it? I hope it is. It might be. I don't know. Well, whatever. Who cares? We like him anyway. He's fun. And then they decided to do a 2.5D side-scrolling platformer based around the Duke Nukem franchise. They decided that, and then no less than 5 years later, after much finagling and false starts and all of that, it eventually appeared in 2001, 2002, something like that, on the PC. At the time, it was all right, I guess. But even then, like, even when it came to 2002, like, by then, Duke's quotes and his various 80s movie pastiches seemed a little bit old hat. Now it's appeared on iOS, it feels like a game out of time.
Mm.
Not only in terms of, like, the content, but it just doesn't belong on iPhones for mechanical reasons as well. So in terms of the actual port, like, visually, the game has come over perfectly intact. It's a really good translation of the original game. It looks just like it always did. It runs fairly smoothly, a bit stuttery at times, but it's all right. But, you know, it's a very faithful, at least visually speaking, port of that original game. You have to run and jump, and you start from the rooftops, and you're shooting pigs as usual, and collecting nuclear thingies, and you're saving babes, inverted commas over babes there, if you wanna, before you send me any angry emails. And doing all those things that Duke does. And he still says crap one-liners because, you know, that, again, that's what he does.
That's his thing, isn't it?
It is. Oh, and that's not old at all. So all that's still going on. And I imagine if you played and liked the original one, then there'll be a certain amount of kind of warm, nostalgic feelings will come flowing back into you and go, oh, I remember this. This was crap. I wasn't a fan of the original game. And I'm not a fan of this one because in order to control, you have to use this really badly conceived overlay. So it's a D-pad, virtual D-pad, rather than a stick, and a whole bunch of buttons, which take up almost the entire screen. You know how usually the D-pad or virtual stick will occupy maybe the bottom, I don't know, fifth of the screen in the corner.
Mm.
In this case, it takes up two thirds, like vertically, it's 2/3 of the way up the screen. And the rest, the other half of the screen is just filled with buttons of like jumping and ducking and shooting various things and lobbing pipe bombs. And when you're controlling it, you can't see anything because both of your thumbs are obscuring the action because they have to reach so damn far across the device. It's a bit better on iPad because you've got that extra screen real estate. But playing it on the iPhone or iPod, it's just like, I can barely see what's going on. And it's awkward, and it feels really stiff and jerky. And again, it might be because of the original game. That's how it originally played. But it is just not suited for an iPad. And there are so many instances of people trying to convert platformers onto touchscreens where it goes horribly wrong. There are only a few where people get it right. We always cite things like League of Evil, the guys, Ravenous Games, who make very good mobile platformers, who kind of prove that, look, you can actually do it and get away with it. I think, was it called Shadow Blade, the game that was released recently?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Something to do with Shadows, Blades, and Ninjas. But again, that's another one where it's like it's got very simple left and right controls and an A, B button for jump and attack. And it works. It feels very responsive, because previously you'd think these devices, with no force feedback and with no buttons to press, it's very difficult to get a really nuanced platform control system on iOS. But it can be done. It might not be the perfect system for it, but it can work. This is a prime example of how it doesn't work. If you just slap a control overlay over the top of it, like it was an emulator almost, and it has one of those really bad default overlays going over the top, that's what it looks like and that's what it feels like. So mechanically, it's not really a great deal of fun. And conceptually, it feels old. It feels so old. And whereas at the time, the kind of kitsch Duke Nukem thing was like, yeah, all right, yeah, you know, it's a bit of fun, and don't take it too seriously, and you shouldn't. By early 2000s, you're like, oh, yeah. By the time Duke Nukem Forever rolled around, and obviously kind of killed the franchise, stone dead, it took like 13, 14 years for it to come through. It was the most troubled game in history, and it wasn't surprising that the resulting game was absolutely terrible. But playing it was very difficult to kind of maintain your nostalgic love for it, because in the current world and in the way that social attitudes have progressed, it does feel terribly backward and archaic, and he does feel like an anachronism at this point. And that might be treating it too seriously. It is obviously a bit of fun. You shouldn't be kind of stroking your beard about Duke Nukem, because that's not what the franchise is about, and I'm sure some people still enjoy that kind of humour. But you need to do something more. We were talking about it yesterday when we were discussing this, actually. There should be a deconstruction of Duke Nukem. There should be a game which actually takes the character and then inverts everything to some degree, or over the course of the game, like, points out how kind of ridiculous the stuff that he's saying is, and kind of undresses the character, metaphorically speaking, to sort of reveal how sort of outdated and outmoded all the attitudes that he stands for are. That would be a really interesting game, which I would totally play. But we're not going to get that. We're going to continue to get him saying old 80s movie quotes.
But, you know, if that is the one thing that would make him relevant. Like,
what, the deconstruction thing?
Yeah. Like, because that would be a really good display, you know,
of self-awareness.
Because the game always sells itself, or forever sold itself, I should say, on, there was this constant, like, wink, like, we know isn't quite right, but then at the same time didn't quite go far enough with it, like, to the point of some of the stuff you thought, you're being serious, you think this is cool. And I think the appeal of Duke Nukem is the same appeal as something like the Saints Row series, in that if you want to, you know, be all about, you know, bitches and gangsters, like,
which incidentally I am.
Well, aren't we all? Like, you know, if you want to enjoy that stuff in a kind of ironic kind of way, then that's fine. Like, and there is quite a lot of comedy to be derived from that kind of thing. And there's definitely comedy to be derived from, like, ultra violence and ridiculous scenarios. And
oh, totally. I'm like the biggest horror fan, and I love all that stuff. I think it's grand.
But it's time to stop with, you know, it feels more and more and more like a shameful little license that's for some reason people, you know, people still, I guess, enjoy, or maybe they don't, because, like,
Well,
Forever didn't do brilliantly.
No, it didn't. I think it's running on fumes at this point, the whole franchise. They need to do something smart with it, or deconstruct it, or something ironic, because they can't just keep peddling the character, because it's a character from another time. It's a character from, you know, nigh on 30 years ago. And it just... It's not working. It's not working at the moment, unfortunately. But if you do want to see it in action, there's a video review on AppSpy. There's a review up on Pocket Gamer. And we gave it bad ratings. But there was at least one site which gave it 4.5 stars, a relatively popular mobile site. So, you know, maybe you'll love it.
Maybe.
You know, maybe. Yeah. Mm. But you shouldn't, though, because it's not very good. Which brings us to the end of this podcast. Apologies if it's a little bit brief, because I now have to go back and do loads more work, as I'm sure Peter has to do as well.
Yep.
And apologies for the absence of Keith as well.
Slacker. Slacker.
Yes. He's not only working, but he's also suffering. During Pocket Gamer Connects, which was the conference we were at, as I mentioned earlier, he did his back in.
Bless him.
And was it by lifting heavy objects? Was it by lugging banners around or stacks of iPads to give away?
Must it?
No, he slept funny.
Oh, yeah.
And then he spent the next day in a chair, unable to move, while someone held ice cubes on his back.
I'm going to absolutely ridicule him next time he's on the podcast.
Oh, no, be nice. He was in a great deal of pain. He was very poorly. So he's sort of quasi-recovering now. But I'm sure he'll be back next week, as will we all, for more Pocket Gamer-related news. So thanks for listening, and catch you very soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.